This is the Faith Debate, a theological roundtable gab fest, a free-for-all forum with faith community leaders wrestling over the truth. In less than one half hour, learn more about what really matters than what most others learn in a week. The Faith Debate is on the World Wide Web at WFMD.com, keyword faith. Are you ready for the clash of ideas? Are you ready for the sound of freedom? Let's get ready to rumble in this corner, weighing in with a Master of Divinity from Reformed Theological Seminary, the Faith Debate Master of Ceremonies, Troy Skinner.
Thank you for tuning in again for our Lockdown Tapes edition of the Faith Debate. As I've mentioned in recent weeks, doing things with all the restrictions that are in place with a show like ours, panel discussion, that sort of thing, and it's rather difficult. And so what I'm doing is I'm repurposing some things that I had done last year, last spring, during the early portions of the COVID 19 stuff and the lockdowns that we were dealing with last year. I know we're dealing with stuff still this year. It's the story that just never ends. But and ironically, what we're listening to now is some thoughts that had to do with COVID-19 and the lockdown. And I had to cut off something I was reading that was written by Pastor Paul Mundy, kind of in mid-thought. We're going to finish that up and then have some additional thoughts that have to do with COVID-19 and the church's response and that sort of thing. And so without further ado, let's pick up where we left off on last week's show.
Navigational prompt number 3. Expect new creation. Scripture is filled with hopelessness, wasteland, and desert, but consistently Scripture assents God's promise to make a way where there appears to be no way, a road in the wilderness and paths in the wastelands, as it says in Isaiah 43. New creation. Over Christmas, Paul writes, my wife Robin and I visited the 9/11 memorial in New York City. One of the remarkable aspects of the memorial is the calorie pear tree, known as the survivor tree. Buried under the rubble of the 9/11, the survivor tree had little hope for survival, a tragic jungle of snapped roots and scorched branches. But New York City parks and recreation workers were relentless, taking the tree and nursing it back to health over time, a long time. But now, the survivor tree stands proud and secure as new smooth limbs extend from old, gnarled, charred stumps, an unmistakable symbol of resilience, survival, and rebirth. But there's more. Each year, the 9/11 Memorial identifies three communities in the United States that have also suffered a tragedy and provides those communities with seedlings from the survivor tree as a living reminder that over time, blessing can emerge from brokenness. Hope can emerge from horror. Promise can emerge from pain. Through God, in Christ, blessing can emerge from brokenness. Hope can emerge from horror. Promise can emerge from pain. For Jesus is the ultimate survivor, demonstrating through the cross that even the greatest tragedy, abandonment, suffering, can result in redemption, reconciliation, and new creation. Look to Jesus and know new creation. Wherever you feel gnarled, charred, and hopeless, receive a seedling from the Christ tree and be renewed. For surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night. But even the darkness is not dark to you, O God. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. Again, a reference to Psalm 139. Over time, let that truth register. But boy, is it a process. But be expectant, for God does make a road in the wilderness and a path in the wasteland, as it says in Isaiah 43, giving light to navigate alarming darkness, even a pandemic. Paul has a gift with words, doesn't he? In a little bit. All right, so let me read another one of the emails from a couple weeks ago, about a week, 2.5 weeks ago, probably at this point now. Welcome to another day, brothers and sisters. Yesterday I emailed to you some words written by a friend of mine. Today I'm going to do the same, but from a different friend who is also a former mentor of mine. John Frost writes, the antidote for anxiety is calm. The antidote for fear is hope. The antidote for bad news is encouragement. The antidote for despair is to be uplifted. The thing we need to do is to double down on why people come to us in the first place, because that's the benefit, the value they need now more than ever. Trust is not impulsive. Trust can only be built over time. Trust is built with a mindset of a farmer, not that of a hunter. Plant, tend, plow, fertilize, weed, repeat. Build relationships and be there when they need you. What is your role while the coronavirus is in the headlines and impacting people's daily lives? Consider three things. Number one, practical information. Balance the latest news, mostly negative, with context. For instance, did you know that 93% of all cases are from only four countries in the world? Did you know that the coronavirus has a greater likelihood of affecting older adults who already have lower immune systems or existing health issues? Did you know that no cases have been reported in any child under the age of 15? 80% of those impacted by the virus have recovered. And then he goes to say, obviously, these numbers change daily, and they have changed since he wrote that, obviously. Avoid what one psychologist called gloom and doom entertainment. I'm not suggesting we minimize the severity of the situation, only that we offer context. Number two, expert advice. Dwight Bain says, the more you panic, the more your immune system goes down. A strong immune system will fight any virus or bacteria. We want our immunity system to go up. When you panic, your immunity goes down. Also, you can be a good neighbor and remind your friends how they can best protect their health while not panicking. And number three, faith in where we find our hope. Be a constant reminder, and a contrast to the media, of the true hope we offer every day of the year. Fear not is the most frequently mentioned command in the Bible. In fact, it's given 365 times, one for every day of the year. I have recommended consistent daily prayer with believers praying for the containment of the virus, the protection of our community, and for the researchers and the scientists who are searching for a cure. This is also a great opportunity to utilize social media to connect our purpose to others. Want to supercharge your immunity system? Focus on positivity over fear. The more you laugh, the more you meditate on scripture, the more you practice diaphragmatic breathing, the more you pray, the stronger your immunity grows. Breathe, trust, believe. That's how to increase faith over fear. And those last words he was quoting, those very last words he was quoting Dwight Bain again. So John Frost, he's a very wise observer of life, isn't he?
This is the Faith Debate on 930 WFMD.
I've recently heard plenty of fresh perspectives to contrast with what is heard from mainstream media perspectives that can actually be helpful to people. Here are some listed below. Quote, when the story of COVID-19 is just a story we tell, let's make sure our stories are stories worth telling. Andy Stanley. Quote, the more messages that get out there about how we should behave and how we should respond to this dilemma of the coronavirus outbreak, the more we can all work together in the face of this crisis. Stephen Dragotis. Quote, our God is the God that takes these difficulties and turns them into opportunities. Hearts are soft. People are listening. Max Lucado. Quote, while I can't control the situation around me, I can control my actions. Doing breath work, calling loved ones, getting enough sleep and proper nutrition, prayer, and doing activities I love at home will all help during this time. Also washing my hands regularly, avoiding close contact with those who are sick, and reminding others where to find hope and to focus on the things we should all dwell on. John Frost. I hope that we all feel the privilege that it is to be a Christian during this unusual season. After all, this is what we practice for. God bless you, dear ones, Pastor Troy. And then I added a P.S. Saw this on social media and it captured my attention. Quote, in 3 short months, just like you did with the plagues of Egypt, God has taken away everything we worship. God said, you want to worship athletes? I will shut down the stadiums. You want to worship musicians? I will shut down civic centers. You want to worship actors? I will shut down theaters. You want to worship money? I will shut down the economy and collapse the stock market. You don't want to go to church and worship me? I will make it where you can't go to church. Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Maybe we don't need a vaccine. Maybe we need to take this time of isolation from the distractions of the world and have a personal revival where we focus on the only thing in the world that really matters, Jesus. Start the revival in your home. Spread the love of Jesus. Father, we recognize in only small measure how magnificent you truly are. We thank you for times such as this that we're reminded of the immensity of your holiness and power and authority. We know that you are completely powerful and omnipotent. You are not weak or frail in a situation such as this. And so we know that you have the ability and the will and the desire to work all things together for the good of those who are yours. And that you are doing so, even as we might struggle to see how that is so from our perspective. And we thank you that we can rest on the assurance that while this situation we find ourselves in came as a great surprise to us, it was of no surprise at all to you. Nothing is a surprise to you. You see all things. You know all things. You are in control. Always. You are a sovereign God. And because of that assurance, we know that we should be able to walk with confidence, absent of fear, with boldness for Christ, being busy about doing the work of the kingdom. And yet we are frail. We pray that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and yet we are not in heaven just yet. And so we struggle. We still battle against sin and weak dispositions. We don't pray as we should, press into your word as we should, serve with one another shoulder to shoulder as we should. But we know that all the things that we should do, should have done, and should do in the future have all been perfectly accomplished in Christ. We thank you for the wisdom of seeing how much we would need salvation through you, that we could not earn our way, work our way, climb and claw our way to salvation. We thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit here among us in this room, among all who are gathered with this Facebook Live broadcast, but also your Spirit that dwells within the hearts of believers all around the world. Help us expand our view to recognize that it's not just us in Maryland or other parts of the United States, but it's the entire world that is going through a crisis right now. And whether it's the coronavirus or something else, there is always a crisis that the world is going through because it is frail and fallen and broken and sin-riddled. So we pray for the lost ones around us, all around the world, that they would hear and respond to the truth of your gospel. We pray for our brothers and sisters, so many who are in more dire circumstances than we are, who need encouragement from you. May our prayers somehow be useful in that through a supernatural means. And help us to never lose sight of the fact that this is a supernatural battle. There is a spiritual war being waged. That there is one like a lion prowling around looking to devour us. And we know that it is, we know from our experience, and we know from what you tell us to expect in your word, that navigating life through this brokenness is not easy. And it is particularly hard to try to live as a Christian when the rest of the world does not understand and recognize your truth and recognize who you are. So help us to bolster each other's faith, to be encouraging and edifying to one another, to find ways to be there for each other, even at a time such as this. We thank you for continuing to provide for us, providing for us the technological means and the fiscal means to even do what we do now. And we thank you for the love that we can have for one another, the unity we have in Christ, and the things that bind us together in the faith, held together through the power of your Spirit. It's in the precious name of your Son, Jesus, our Lord and Savior and King, that we pray. Amen.
You're listening to a special edition of the Faith Debate on 930 WFMD.
Today I have an item to share that is adapted from something I read by Christopher Wesley. Life can feel pretty draining in the season we're in. Stress can drain you to the point where you wonder, why bother with anything? That's why it's so important to practice what we've been taught and lean into our need for prayer. So many burn out or are tempted to give up because they ignore the basics of the faith that we share with others. We need prayer, but it can be easier said than done because it's too easy to confuse it with work. Or we assume we'll get to it in a moment because it's readily available. Or busyness takes over. Or we invest in what others say about us over God, etc. No matter our reasons, we need to have discipline in our spiritual life and practice. How? Embrace the challenge and surround yourself with Christians for accountability and always have quick access to a Bible. Pick up the scriptures, confess your sins, have quiet time, and attend weekly worship in whatever ways are available to you in your situation. The reality is, faith is evidenced by work. Embrace the struggle and remind yourself it will be hard at times, but it's worth it. Set prayer as a priority. Are you starting out your day and various aspects of your day with prayer? Whether it's personal or professional, prayer needs to consume everything that you are doing. You need to consciously involve God in every part of your everyday life. Many advocate that the most important time to incorporate prayer is in the morning. Whether getting up at 5 a.m. or noon, we need to make sure that we are giving God thanks and seeking His guidance. Perhaps you should build it into your daily habit by putting it into your schedule and working at it. Create boundaries. Mixing prayer and work isn't a bad thing. However, you do need clear boundaries. Set aside time when you just go with your family or on your own for times of focused prayer. By committing to prayer without ceasing and prayer focused in regular moments of intensity, you'll experience God filling you with His joy. Build in accountability because you need people to sharpen your faith journey. We all need people making sure that we are constantly growing. You need people praying with you and for you in your journey. Take time away to retreat from the messiness of life. Sometimes we need to step out to purely and intently focus on Christ. When doing so, you can offer up all your worries and anxieties to become rooted in Christ. Prayer is one of the most essential tools that we need for the long haul. Above almost everything else, make it a priority in how you live your life. It might take work, but the benefits always outweigh the labor. Standing in prayer with God's people, Pastor Troy. And then I added a P.S. Attaches the most recent newsletter from the Wiersma family, dear friends of mine serving in long-term overseas missions. I've included this as a reminder of what's going on throughout the world right now. Let's be sure to pray for all of our co-heirs in Christ all around the world and for the lost and broken people we have among us in the nations on all continents. He sent me an interesting meme this past week. I truly appreciate that he shared it, as it's a meme that certainly captures the opinion of many during the world's current pandemic. Many of us might have questions about how we should understand such statements, and so I feel it could be helpful to you if I offer a few comments. Here's what the internet meme says, quote, The Lord commanded a lockdown during the Passover in Egypt that every member of the household was to be home, hidden, and protected under the blood of the lamb, partaking the Passover lamb with members of the family. Don't feel bad about closing the church during this lockdown period. Your faith is just being tested and strengthened. We are being taught something, and God is doing a work. Be still and know He is God. End quote. What are we to make of this quote? Well, here are a few thoughts for your consideration. This meme contains at least a sliver of biblical truth, but as with any meme, it is too lacking in substance to maintain status as the final word on the matter. Some church leaders and churchgoers have determined that, in their context and within their biblically informed conscience, the God-honoring thing to do is to avoid gathering corporately for at least a short while. Some church leaders and churchgoers have determined that, in their context and within their biblically informed conscience, the God-honoring thing to do is to continue gathering corporately for at least the moment. Both groups can be correct. How? Because their circumstances are different. As an expositional matter, the meme quoted above offers a weak case of support for those who might be looking for a biblical defense of their decision to dispense with corporate gatherings. This group might indeed have strong biblical support for their decision, but using the argument found in this meme would be to miss the context of the Passover story recorded for us in the book of Exodus. In this scriptural narrative, the people of God weren't instructed to stay away from worshiping Him, but rather to demonstrate their worship of Him. God's people weren't cowering in fear of a sickness, but were obediently following God's life-giving instructions. God's people weren't giving in to fear of proximate worldly enemies, but rather gave evidence of a righteous fear of our ultimate supernatural God. Put simply, the people who were spared by the Lord had an appropriate and honoring fear of God. Put conversely, the people were not spared from death on that particular night due to having an inappropriate and dishonoring fear of the world. God's people found protection from the judgment of our holy God by trusting in the blood of the Lamb. This is a profound corollary for God's people today, who find ultimate and eternal protection from the judgment of our holy God in the blood of the Lamb. We must always remember that Jesus Himself teaches us in Luke 24 and John 5 that the whole Bible is about Him. Until we uncover how all the passages, including those of the Passover, instruct us in the revelation of the Messiah, we have not found the intended meaning of those passages. Exodus 12 is about Christ, who will come in judgment to destroy His enemies, while at the same time protecting those who are His. And we recognize those who are His by their obedience. This is a central theme for us to glean from the story of Exodus. The question of whether or not to take a break from corporate worship gatherings is a question of obedience for pastors and for all believers. Deciding to take a break and deciding to not take a break in our current worldwide situation can both be the right decision, and they can both be the wrong decision. Immense trust in God to provide wisdom by the guidance of His Spirit is needed in dramatic ways right now. So please include all pastors everywhere in your prayers at this time. Too many are being too quick to be too condemning of pastors and congregations thinking differently about what they should do at a time such as this. We are called to give evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. So when thinking about fellow believers, let's think in terms that are loving, good, kind, patient, and gentle. If we can demonstrate this level of self-control, then we are likely to witness more joy, peace, and faithfulness among God's people.
This is the Faith Debate on 930 WFMD. I've been listening to a special edition of the show, the Lockdown Tapes edition, as I'm calling it, because, well, we're in lockdown as I'm recording this anyway. Hard to do a panel discussion when people can't gather together and we have all the restrictions with masks and all that sort of stuff. It makes it very difficult. So we're listening to some special edition. This is stuff from almost a year ago. It's amazing how little the world's changed. However, I will say, churches have learned a lot about what's going on, and if churches are still shut down and cowering in fear, there might have been an excuse for that to some degree a year ago, but about a year ago. But not so sure how much reason there is for that now. Anyway, thanks for listening. Follow me on Parler, on MeWe, on Facebook. Find us at WFMD.com. Till next week, 167 and a half hours from right now. God bless.